Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Hey, I swear if I swear at you ninnies, you probably so triggered you cry. And nobody wants to be real, everyone's scared of how everyone feels. We become so ultra sensitive and hyper tolerant that honestly, honesty gonna be illegal. It's crazy y'all get so shocked and bothered from people saying things that
you open up a newspaper, you go on social media, you turn on cable television, you get the distinct impression that what was once just a little thing happening on college campuses, political correctness, is now the mainstream of thought in the United States. I remember 25 years ago, people talking about political correctness, never imagining that it would be as prevalent as it is. But how prevalent is it? You get the impression that 80% of the population thinks political correctness is a good thing, and maybe 20%, you might count yourself in that 20%, consider it to be a dangerous thing, dangerous to our basic freedoms, especially the freedom of speech. There's a new survey out on political correctness that, well, defies expectations. Joy Pullman joins us to talk about it on this Tuesday afternoon. She's managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled 80% of Americans Think Political Correctness is a National Problem. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So why does it seem like the numbers should be 20% think it's a problem and 80% have bought political correctness hook, line, and sinker?
Well, I am sure there are many reasons for this, but I would put my finger on particularly two. I mean, the first one is that the sorts of people who control the channels of public communication tend to be the ones who support political correctness and enforce it. So the study that we're talking about actually explored that issue in greater depth. And so basically, I think the one reason for that is just that the sorts of people who get to have big platforms to broadcast their ideas to other people are in strong support of political correctness. And I think that is actually reflective of the other trends we see in society today, kind of this anti-elite sort of thing going on. I think we know already that there's a really broad sentiment that the people who are kind of the ruling class, the people in charge of the country, really aren't in step with what most of the country feels, and that's very clear and very distinct and very strong on particular this issue of political correctness, as that study shows. And so the second issue that I was thinking about that I think might play a big role in this is that Americans really, we have, I think, lost the art of communication, of conversation, of being able to come to terms. I think people don't really know how to disagree politely or to express their views and listen to other people's ideas that are different from theirs in a way, you know, that both sides can say, okay, we disagree here, but we can get over this. You know, we can talk through our disagreement. So, you know, and so I think partially, probably a lot of that is related to social media, but not entirely. But I think kind of the art of conversation and coming to terms with each other in person, we feel kind of at a loss about how to do that. We don't practice it very often. And so, you know, people, while they might not like, they know what we can't say, but they don't know how to say, you know, the kind of positive opposite of that, how to express themselves positively and to be able to have a conversation with people they love or just neighbors about a disagreement.
So how would you summarize the results of this survey?
Well, actually, the report is, I want to say, about 150 pages long, and I did read all of them because I tried to do that for integrity reasons when I write about reports. So I don't know that it's, I could summarize all of that. There was a lot in there. I think the report did a poll. The data comes from a poll of 8,000 people and then in-depth focus group interviews with several different focus groups, and then sit-down one-on-one interviews between a sociologist and about 30 different people. So there's really a lot going on in this survey. It's part of a really big project that is an international project aimed at kind of, with the message of telling people, you know, in a society of Trump, of this kind of nationalist populist stuff that's scaring the elites, the people that they're ruling really aren't all on board with their agenda. So they're trying to explore those and also, you know, express to the general populace, look, we agree on a lot more than you might think. And polarization is one of these things that the media likes to sensationalize. And it's definitely there, but maybe not in the way that you think. So there's a lot of that and lots of different topics in that whole report.
Who likes political correctness?
So the report went through and kind of identified what it, one of the interesting things that it found was that Americans really do not break down among the typical lines that we hear talked about all the time. So we don't break down in terms of the way we think along our race and our class lines. People, if you look at a person and you say, oh, you know, I don't know, you know, rich white person, you don't know what that person is politically just by those demographic information, even though you might think so, you know, listening to the media talk. But what the report really did find was that people tend to identify, you can tell what they think by kind of knowing what their political affiliation is. Anyway, so it grouped, you know, people into kind of seven different baskets along the political spectrum from very leftist to very conservative. And the only group that it found that was on board with political correctness was the most extremely politically left group. They called it in the report the progressive activists. So this is 8% of the American population, according to the poll. And those are the only people who the majority of them said that they were fine with political correctness. They didn't see a problem with that. Everybody else in all the other six groups, majorities of them said they did not like it. They have a problem with it. But the folks in who the small minority of people who do support it, they tend to be more white than the other groups, so racially Caucasian. I'm not really into thinking about people in terms of, like, the color of their skin because it's really complex, way more complex than what we look like. But anyway, and also more they have higher income and also much more likely to be agnostic and also much more likely to have further higher education, not just a bachelor's degree, higher numbers of bachelor's degree, master's, and PhDs in that group.
Who are the exhausted majority?
I have some questions about the way that the kind of pollsters put people into this group, but they say that the majority of Americans who are not very conservative or very liberal, kind of the majority statistically in the center politically, they are the ones who most strongly say, you know, told the researchers that they really prefer, they are kind of tuning out of the national discourse because it's so rude, it's so polarizing, it just wears them out. So that was kind of a collection of several of these seven, you know, basket groups that the pollsters decided also to lump together and say, you know, there's also a sizable kind of coalition of people more in the middle of the spectrum politically who really, you know, strongly say they're sick of, you know, basically everything being talking points shouted from both the far left and the far right at each other, and they don't really identify with either side very strongly.
Does that mean that the majority is centrist?
Well, see, that's where, I mean, so I wrote about this a little bit. That's where I'm kind of not really sure that I agree with, you know, with the conclusions of the folks writing the report. I think it could be feasible to say that these folks are also, they're not, maybe they're centrist, but also maybe they're not very well educated. And I don't mean in terms of, you know, they don't have many degrees or they're intellectually incapable. I mean, because they tune out, you know, they don't know enough about something like immigration. They don't know, for example, how many people tend to cross the border illegally each year or are granted U.S. citizenship legally each year. You know, just basic facts that you would need to know to be have an informed opinion to be able to engage a public debate. I doubt that. I mean, I know from looking at other opinion polls that most Americans are very poorly informed about almost anything of public of public discussion. So I would say these people think that they're in the middle, but I also think if they, you know, were to sit down and think through issues or have long conversations with someone of a stronger, more dedicated political or moral kind of philosophy, that they would settle out, you know, more in one direction like other folks. So I think rather than, you know, a lot of people will call themselves a centrist when they really mean stop shouting at me. So it's not clear to me, however, that, you know, that really reflects their values. I think it could also reflect that they haven't really thought through what they really think is right and wrong, and then thought through applying that specifically to all the hot button political issues that, you know, come up in the news cycle.
You say finally, with about a minute here, that the antidote to political correctness is free speech. Why so?
Well, I mean, it's because of something I've been talking about here with you, Todd. I mean, I think if people don't know how to talk to each other and we feel kind of fenced in by a culture of political correctness, the way to get out of that is to do our best, even though it's not going to be perfect, you know, to express what we think in as kind but honest a manner as possible. So I really think, you know, the way to get out of being scared of, I don't even know what, you know, a lot of times just being willing to say something that you think might offend people, you know, there's nothing that's really bad that's going to happen to you. You know, if you say it to a friend and the friend reacts strongly, you can say, wow, I didn't mean it that way, you know, and you can kind of patch things up really quickly. So, I mean, and if many, many more of us start doing that sort of thing, then we can realize, wow, you know, I was able to have a conversation with my friend about this thing I thought would scare him and make him never be my friend again, but actually it deepened our friendship. I mean, I find this happening in my own personal relationships all the time. So I think people need to just stop being scared and start talking to people and practicing, you know, practicing being charitable, being kind to each other. But the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled 80% of Americans Think Political Correctness is a National Problem. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you.
Thank you.
You will not be finding any political correctness at next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Dallas, Texas. You can meet and hear Dr. Anthony Esselin on Western Civilization, Dr. Ryan Anderson on Our First Freedoms. We'll be talking transgenderism with Dr. Beverly Yonke, revisionist history with Dr. Mark Kaltoff. Dr. John Wart Montgomery will be making the legal case for the resurrection of Christ, and Pastor Chris Roseborough for infant baptism. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is absolutely free, courtesy of Wittenberg Academy, an online classical Lutheran school. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. When we come back, it's Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the first nine plagues in the book of Exodus.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.